Blog Talk Radio.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. Wanna be with my baby.
Yes. It's here built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Welcome. It is Reality and Relationships, and I am your host, K.L. Belvin, and is my lovely wife, Tiffany, there?
I am here.
Hey, so it must be Thursday night. And yes, I must be tired tonight. Reality and Relationships, and this is where we discuss relationships from all different angles. Not just between couples. We talk about relationships with your children, relationships that work, any type of relationships that we can think of. We try to bring our flavor to the table to give you something to think about. And this is what we do. So let's jump right into this because it's been a rough day. How are we doing, darling?
I'm doing great. Actually, I had a long week. I'm looking forward to the weekend. I hear it's supposed to be 80 degrees tomorrow, so I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I ain't gonna walk.
You want to head to the beach, honey?
You know I don't do New York beaches.
You know, it's funny. We were at work talking about beaches versus pools today. I don't know if you saw my Facebook post, but I was saying I don't like going to the pools now as an adult because, you know, people urinate in the pool. I'd rather go to the beach. So one of my coworkers said that she don't even think about people urinating in the pool because she's one of those people.
Come on.
Yes.
You actually can't clean it. You know what? Don't they have that blue dye or something like that now? Is that what it is when people
That's a myth. That is such a myth. Have you ever seen any blue dye in a pool? As many people, you know, at least 80% of the people who go to the pool urinate in the pool.
Just keep your mouth closed. What you got to do? I mean, me personally, I guess with all the traveling that I've done and the places that I've gone, the different resorts, I can't do ordinary beaches and I can't do ordinary pools because I don't like, well, you know me, I don't like crowds. Let me explain to everyone listening. First of all, I have to be the most antisocial guy that's on the planet. I love people. I love being around people most of the time. But I am just as happy being all by myself. And there are times that I don't want to be bothered. I don't like crowds. I don't like standing on lines. I don't like crowded restaurants. I don't like crowded beaches. I don't like crowded clubs. I don't want anybody having to rub up against me for nothing unless I'm dancing. And other than that, no. So crowded beaches where you basically fighting for space. And, because another thing, too, is I have ADD. So I tend to listen to everyone's conversation around me, so I can tell you what everybody is talking about, and it makes it very cumbersome. So me, give me a nice, quiet, secluded area. Give me a balcony overlooking the beach. Give me a nice, quiet hot tub, a quiet pool. I'm good. And no, I'm not peeing in the pool. That's not hot in the streets.
Honey, you never urinated in the pool?
Huh?
You never urinated in the pool?
When I was 10?
You want us to believe that you don't urinate in the pool?
No, when I was 10, no, I don't pee in the pool. What is that? That's nasty. Mm-hmm. Bodily fluids in the pool. This is what we've gotten to. This was hot in the streets. Ew. Mm-hmm. See, that killed me right there. Now I may not go to the pool. We go on vacation.
I can tell you, if we did a survey of 100 people, probably every single last person would admit at some point they have urinated in the pool.
So you're saying you pee in pools. Don't get shy. We're on the radio.
I didn't hear your question.
I said, so you pee in pools.
I don't currently pee in pools, but I have in the past. I will admit that.
Moment.
Yes,
you're in the pool. That's disgusting, babe. Why are you telling me that? Now I'm going to look at you totally different now. After this show, you sleep on the couch. Wow. Well, anyway, staying with what we do, how has your week been going so far? Other than peeing and talking about peeing in pools at work when you should be working, how has your week been going?
My week is going okay. It's been a little hectic because, you know, I spent the week away at the pageant. So it's just getting back to almost normal. I have to say I had a lot of paperwork pile up on me, and then we have orientations coming in, so I had a lot of paperwork to process for new hires, and that can be cumbersome. So, but it's going pretty good. How was your week?
Listen, actually, it's been, the weeks are kind of just crashing into each other like waves, speaking of the beaches. When you reach this part of the year in a school year, it's taxing on everyone. It's taxing on the kids, it's taxing on the teachers, it's taxing on administration. Because the finish line is still just out of reach, but you know it's close. It's kind of like being in November, and you know Christmas is coming. And it's rough because as the weather is starting to change, the behavior starts to change. And as a dean, it does make it very difficult. But the week was not bad. Just trying to, and actually I got to put into motion the things that we talked about last week, in last week's show. We missed last week's show. We talked about dealing with coworkers, so you don't have to choke your coworkers out. And so, no, I didn't have to give any coworker a two-piece. I just followed my own advice. That's really what it was, our advice, excuse me. And I just decided to try to be proactive at work and do more to help others and try to put out some of the fires instead of adding gas to them, because I got enough responsibilities. I just don't want the extra drama. As well as I made the dedication to write more, spend less time on Facebook and try to work on my craft as a poet and as an author. I'm part of an anthology that's coming out in September, Soldiers of the Cross. It's actually a Christian fiction anthology, three outstanding authors, David Isaiah Paul, Maurice Gray, and the cover was done by Allison Dees, Isaiah's incredible wife. Very nice cover, simplistic but very, very catchy. So I'm looking forward to being a part of that, but I have to get the story completed. It's due by the end of the month. So as folks know that tune in, they know that Tiff and I are our publishers. We are literary service providers as well as authors. And so when we're not doing the radio thing, doing our regular job thing, we are trying to run a business as well as trying to complete our manuscripts to give out to the world. Or not give out. It seems like we've been giving them out lately. But we're trying to run a business behind the scenes. So it's been a good week. I can't complain. Little bumps here and there. We're going to talk about some later on this evening. But I've been good and just trying to take care of my health, making sure that things is ready. I'm looking forward to bowling this summer. Just found out that my partner, who was supposed to bowl with me, will not be able to bowl. So now I'm debating whether I want to take that trek out to Long Island just to pick up a partner or maybe just work on practicing.
Right. And I'm sad because my bowling season ended early because of my hamstring. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to bowl the way I would have liked.
Yeah.
And I have to get a replacement for my team for the next 3 weeks. So hopefully I'm keeping my fingers crossed. My team is very strong. We won the last 2 years, so hopefully we can pull through and at least catch second place this year.
Yeah, well, listen, the team that we got is strong enough, and I'm sure that they'll do their thing. I mean, again, that drives me crazy that I wasn't able to bowl all winter and watching you guys, you know, in the fight and not being able to help. So I'm looking forward to a good summer. I'm looking forward to a strong next year. So we're going to see how things go. So it is what it is. So if you're listening to us on GQ Palace Radio on the website, if you want to call in tonight, you can call in from your cell phone, home phone, whatever, 646-200-3838. If you actually have called in and you're listening, well, then you can actually just press 1, let the host know that you want to join Tiff and I, and feel free to jump in. So no sense in holding out. Let's get into this because this is a very sensitive topic, so we might as well start early. What is tonight's topic?
Well, tonight's topic, we have two topics, actually.
Oh,
we're
do?
Starting. Yeah, we have two, honey. Did you forget? Yeah. You don't listen to me. The first topic we're talking about is bullying. Is it ever going to end?
I don't think it's ever going to end, but we definitely need to talk about it. We're talking about, and there's different many forms of bullying. We're talking about bullying in schools. As I said earlier, yes, I'm a dean, but as a dean, you deal with the disciplinary situations. But you're dealing with the problems, the children with problems. You're dealing with everything directly. And bullying is something that irks me to no end. I mean, it drives me crazy because when I see kids picking on a smaller, less defensive kid in whatever form or fashion, there's a line to everything. When you cross that line, when you start to hurt someone emotionally, and then these kids wrap it around, I was just playing, I was just joking. And I always say joking and playing means that two people are involved. It's not just you giving it to that person. The person is enjoying it and giving it back. It's not playing when you're verbally and sometimes and many times physically hurting someone. And I don't think parents understand the degree of which bullying goes on in today's schools.
I don't think adults in general take it as seriously as it needs to be taken, because I've even heard people say, well, you know, that's just part of growing up. And honestly, in today's society and advancement of technology, the bullying doesn't just stay at home at school anymore. The bullying now comes home when you have your children turn on their computer. So it's a lot bigger than that's just part of growing up. And it needs to be addressed on all levels, with the kids, the adults, the parents, the school.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, now it's even going as far as the government, because now many states are making anti-bullying laws. As of 2010, about 45 states had anti-bullying laws. So it's being looked at, and it definitely needs to be.
Yeah, I think times have changed, and especially in the African American and Caribbean communities, things that were acceptable years ago that people say shaped our character, shaped who we are, they're just not acceptable anymore. Now, I'm not saying I disagree or agree, because there's lines, there's fine lines. Like, I believe that, yes, our young men should be a little tougher, and I'm not one that says women have to be feminine, but I believe that there's certain gender characteristics that are connected to each. But if someone feels differently, I have no problem with that. I have no major issue with that. I just think that we do have to look at certain things, but you can't say just take it and or beat them up or find a way to deal with it, because our children are not handling it well. And our adults are not handling it well. Our adults, our educators, our parents are not even identifying it. And then when they do identify it, they're kind of poo-pooing it as, oh, you're going to be okay. No. No. Bullying has a devastating psychological effect on those who have it happen to them. Like anybody that's been abused, if it's not dealt with, if it's not fixed, it could lead to that person becoming an abuser themselves. Honey?
Yes.
What'd you think?
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you. Before we get into the deep topic of bullying, I just wanted to mention the second topic of the night also.
Okay.
It's funny because we had our little cousin over here just as we were about to go on the air, and she's 17 years old. She's going to call in a little bit later. But the second topic of the night is discipline, more so corporal punishment, and most of us know it as spanking, whether it should be done, and if it is done, up to what age, is it effective, is it not effective, and we're going to get into that. And of course, our little cousin and her friend was here. They said, oh, that's child abuse. I said, no, it's discipline. It's a different form. So hopefully they'll call me later on tonight and give their spin on both topics, bullying and corporal punishment, a.k.a. spanking.
That's tough because, you know, it's a great topic. Man, because you know what, I'm gonna let y'all rock with the discipline one, because I'm not gonna get to that right away, because you know me, I'm like, sometimes you gotta rub. No, I'm just, I don't want to say that, because I was like, oh my god. No, actually, we'll deal with the first one first. Let's talk about the bullying one first. We'll come to the discipline one, because I definitely want to talk about that, simply because I think parents do go overboard with the discipline, and beating a child like runaway slaves is not the answer. You may get older one day and then have to catch that yourself, but. Going back to bullying, do you have any statistics on bullying with you, or did you give them to me?
I actually sent them to you, but it was amazing to find out, like, the different statistics on bullying. 1 in 7 students
have either been bullied or have witnessed bullying.
Yeah.
1 in 7.
And so I think it's actually more. I think it's more.
Okay.
I think they're not reported because I have seen acts of bullying where I have stepped up to stop it. And then when I've asked the child, why are you allowing that to happen? They don't have an answer. Now, when I say, okay, well, maybe it's because of the environment, so I'll find a quiet place, we sit down and talk, and I say, why would you not say something? Why didn't you say anything? And some kids are so terrified, and some kids don't know what they're supposed to do. You know, and we as parents, we tell our kids, tell us when something's wrong. But school is a different environment because if kids are fearful that something's going to happen, they're going to get beat up, they're going to get jumped, they're going to be ostracized where the crowd that they're with now doesn't want to talk to them because they snitched, which I hate that. kids will hold on to such abuse, and I mean for long periods of time. I want to give a definition of bullying so people can understand it. Let's start to peel back this onion so people can understand what it is, because I think some people just think it's people teasing and that's it. Let me explain. So if you're listening, please pay attention. Bullying is the act of one person using strength or status to infringe on another person, whether with insults, threats, physical harm, ostracism, and infringing on their boundaries in any way that is not sexually charged. To clarify, some see sexual harassment as a subset of bullying, but others see that as a separate category, and I believe that. Although much bullying is peer-to-peer, bullying can be inflicted by an older person on a younger person or vice versa. And school bullying is commonly taken to be refer students bullying each other. Teachers can be a party to school bullying as well as teachers can be bullied. And I've seen that. And so we got to understand is just look at that for a second. Insults, threats, physical harm, ostracism. Now, that's the key one for me. See, I know insults, threats, and physical harm. And the two I want folks to really pay attention to is ostracism. You're like, ostracism? I've never heard that. Just look it up. We all have Webster on our computers. Ostracism and infringing on their boundaries. When someone says stop, they are placing their boundary out there. They're saying stop. If you disregard that and say, oh, I'm just playing, you have now crossed that boundary and you are now infringing on that person's rights. I have seen kids do that and other kids act as if the kid never said anything. And I stopped that as soon as I see it. Did you hear them? Stop. And some kids look at me like I'm crazy. Now the key, now this is what you see little kids do, but now it has gravitated into the older kids, is we're all in the sandbox. What? You don't like me, Tiff? Let's go, girls. And we all go to the side.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to talk to Tiffany.
And
Tiff has the longest face in the world, huh?
I went through that when I was in elementary school. It was one young lady. And it's so funny that we are now cordial to each other. But I remember she was a real bully, and she was the shortest of all of us. But she would fight. And she was good at it, so of course everyone was scared of her. But if she didn't like something you did, or if you didn't do something she wanted you to do, she would have everyone against you, so nobody could talk to you. And they wouldn't talk to you, too. And one day I just said, you know what, we went back and forth to this. We wouldn't talk to this person one day, we wouldn't talk to that person the next day. And then I just got fed up. And I said, you know what? I think I was in the 6th grade at the time. And I said, I don't care if she doesn't talk to me. I'm going to talk to this person. And I finally ended that saga of bullying. But it's a matter of...
Hold that 6th grade thought. We have a caller that we're going to squeeze in before the break. caller on the line. I think it's Brother Faith Walker. Is Brother Faith Walker, that you out there, brother?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
About to rock the world play.
Nah, but we talking about a serious topic here, and you know, had to call in. You're talking about bullying because when I was coming up, I was a victim of bullying myself.
Wow, speak on that.
I mean, you know, and what happened with me is that I was just a brother, came from a loving home and everything like that. You know, I wasn't taught fighting or nothing like that. But the bullying is what pushed me to the streets, to really go out there in the streets, because I was just receiving everything that everybody gave to me with the name callings and getting jumped because I was a bigger dude. You know, I was like a big teddy bear. You know what I'm saying? Dudes would come at me like two and three at a time. And I'd be, you know what I'm saying, I had to stand my ground until it just went on for a couple of years till I just got tired. And so all that hate, all that anger they gave me and all that stuff they were spitting into me, that just born a monster. That born a monster, and that caused me to just relash on society. You know what I'm saying? And so that the bullying, people don't know, it just really triggers something in a person. It really just, all that venom that you pour into a person that you bullying, that's going to come back out in some shape, form, or fashion. Some kids, unfortunately, commit suicide, which is very unfortunate. Some of them commit suicide. Some of them, you know, go to drugs. Some of them, they get scared and join gangs. And then they end up getting jumped in the gang. And then, you know, and then end up wreaking havoc that way because they've been hurt by these bullies. So I just wanted to definitely just share my jewel on that.
No, and I definitely received, and we appreciate that because it is very important what you said. And we try to explain to folks that when you do anything that affects someone emotionally and then couple that with something physically, many people don't recover from that on their own. It's very difficult because the physical pain is already something to deal with mentally. And now if you toss in emotional pain mixed in with the truth, most people don't recover. This is where parents have to pay attention to their children. Have to look at when their children are doing things differently, when they stop being their normal selves and don't accept I'm tired, don't accept I'm bored. You know your child is an outgoing child. If you know your child loves to do certain things, eat certain foods, and all of a sudden they're not doing any of that, dig in. Don't just accept the first answer because children don't know how to express pain when it's deep. It shows itself in many different ways, and I've paid attention to this, and I've heard many a man, grown man and woman, like you just heard Brother Faith Walker say, they go look for other avenues to feed that monster that's inside of them, and then the new monster that's shaped is more devastating or attempts to be more devastating than the original monsters who created this situation.
You know what, Brother KL? Is that most of the time, I remember when I was getting bullied, that I wouldn't come home and tell my parents anything. You know what I'm saying? Because what that does, you be so ashamed of letting them know, you got this cat taking your lunch money. Okay, yo, if they ain't taking your money, yo, buy me something. And then, you know what I'm saying, with brute force, yo, buy me something. Yo, let me get that. Buy me something. And, you know, and you like, and if you don't, and then when they end up happening is they end up buying the bully stuff because they just really want to be down with them. Now the bullying becomes, you feel like it's acceptable because you say, man, you know, they're bullying me and they're making it seem like it's cool at the same time. You'd be like, okay, well, I'm going to buy you this because, I'm gonna buy this for you because I just want to be accepted. I just want you to stop bullying me and accept it. You know what I'm saying? Accept me.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? So that's where, you know, that's what a lot of people don't realize, that, you know, when the kid come home with their head down and they just throw their book bag, go and slam the door and punch a hole in the wall, be like, hey, what's wrong with you? You know, they probably holding that in because they just don't want to, you know, they just want to say what happened. They just want to say what happened at school and they got bullied and now they, you know, what happened to your shirt? Why are your pants jacked up on you like that? Yo, why all that grass in your hair? You know, and it's a hidden message behind that.
You know what, brother? I'm so glad you brought it. Listen, we got other callers. You know I'm going to call you later so we can talk, man. Listen, y'all need to know who this man is before I let him go, man, because I ain't going to let him just slide ahead. He not tell who he is. Brother Faith Walker is a very dear friend of mine, and Tiff's. He's a friend of ours. And me and his brother sit down, and we really try to see this world through a whole different light, and we're trying to work on some things together. And his brother is an incredible musician, incredible poet. He's a part of the Wordplay 2 family, and he is the man behind some of the songs that you hear played in the later hours, the Wordplay theme song, Promise, which was played last week. This brother here is a good friend of mine. We're both brothers in Christ, and so I just want to say publicly I appreciate you, brother, and you and I are going to talk a little bit later on because we do have other calls, but I just want to say thank you, brother.
Man, thank you, too, and thanks for all the love y'all showing. God bless you.
Definitely. I'll call you in a little bit. Brother Faith
right.
Walker, everyone. That's Brother Faith Walker on the call. And we're going to stay with the calls. We're not going to go to any breaks because I had a feeling this subject was going to get some folks to call in because it is a serious subject. And feel free. Call in. Let us know what's going on. We can talk about any old, new, whatever situation that we get past it. We have another caller on the line. I think, Tia, you on the line?
Yes, I am. Hello, everyone.
Hey, what's up, Tia? How you doing, sister?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Tired.
you'll be all right.
Yeah, I'm trying to tell you, listen, as long as I can open up my eyes in the morning, the Lord will bless us another day. I'm going to keep grinding. That's it.
That's what it's about.
So what's going on?
About the bullying. When I first moved to Philadelphia, I guess it was maybe a couple of years later, my daughter went to middle school. It was nine girls that jumped her.
Wow.
Wow.
They really could have hurt her. We took it to court, everything, right? It was this black judge. She told her because she didn't know who hit her first, they dismissed it.
Wow.
Oh, yes. You know, it was a blessing that they didn't hurt her. No. You know, they knocked her down. They tried to knock her down the steps, but she managed to jump down on the platform of it. And when she did, she said she threw a coat over her face because she knew they were after her. The only thing my baby ended up with was a scratch and a knot upside her head.
Wow.
You know, because she said when she went down, she said she just blanked out. And she got up. She managed to get up. She got to swinging, and it was a wrap. It was a
What led up to this?
Well, because she was a new kid on the block, you know, and she wouldn't what you call hang with this clique, this clique, you know.
Mm.
She refused to be a part of the clique, so therefore she was, you know, jumped.
Mm.
Wow.
Let me
say something, everybody listening. What T is saying, I've worked middle school. I've been in the New York City school system 15 years. All but two have been in middle school. And middle school is a very, very difficult age to try to teach, discipline, or just get through when you're a child because your body is growing, your mind is changing, you're influenced by so much. And some of the negative things that I've seen as well as heard from other teachers from other situations in the middle school environment, it is very tough. And in urban neighborhoods, our children, a lot of nurturing is not there. And so things that are just done, it can leave you flabbergasted. I lost the word. Where you sit around and you say to yourself, did that just happen? Did I just see that? Did I just hear that? Did she just say that? Did they just do that? And it is scary because our children are hurting each other at record numbers and believe that it's okay if you don't do what I say or you're not down with me or we don't like you.
Right. You know, and it was really sad, you know, when we went to court and they just threw it out.
Wow.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. And, I mean, how was she supposed to know who hit her first if it was nine of them?
Were they in school, outside of school? Where were they at?
They were at school. It was the end of the day for school.
Wow.
You know, and supposedly they had surveillance cameras and everything. And the cameras supposedly didn't work. You know, so that next day, I mean, when I went up there, I flipped the script. I flipped the script. You know.
I don't blame you. That's something that you say, you know what, I'll be right back. That's go to the trunk and ski mask time at that point. Not that I'm an advocate, but sometimes that's when you go, you know what, I think I might have to go down to the trunk, get the ski mask, and we're going to have to handle this the old-fashioned way because we can't have our children getting hurt. We can't have our children being brutalized because they don't want to be a part of it. One thing that I do want to say to anyone listening, and especially to the parents of little girls. The increase of violence amongst young women in urban and Caribbean neighborhoods has increased and has steadily increased over the last 5 to 10 years. I don't need to go research the facts on this. This is something I pay attention to simply because I'm always trying to find ways to counteract that. We are now starting to see such an increase of violence amongst the young women that the jails are a reflection of it because you even see an increase of the rates of incarceration of young ladies under the age of 25. It's almost catching that of their counterparts, the young men. We're losing too many of our children to straight violence through things like bullying.
To give a reality of the numbers, I just want to show, because I looked it up, and on two different websites, according to the statistics, it says about 282,000 students are reportedly attacked in high schools throughout the nation each month.
Wow.
282,000.
Wow,
so
that's a lot.
And I tell parents all the time, you have to stay involved. You have to make sure that you have an open line of communication to your dean, assistant principal, teachers, whether through technology, whether just physically coming up to the building. Don't make the only time you come up to the building when something's wrong. Make sure folks know you come up, learn who the school safety agents are. If you have a school where the school safety agents are lazy and don't want to do what they got to do, yo, say something.
Exactly.
I'm lucky that the school safety agents in my school, when we talk, they're on point. When they speak to me, they let me know what's going on. As a dean, I stay in contact with the school that we share the building with. And when I was in high school, we had 4 or 5 different high schools, but all of the deans met to talk about our more difficult kids. And the thing that is scary to me, though, this is, and I'm not trying to scare anybody, but I got to give you the truth. I'm not going to come here and lie to you, is that the system is so overwhelmed. They're doing more of what happened to T to our children, so they're victimizing them a second time. And I'm dealing with a situation right now where the student in question was bullied a year ago.
Wow.
And was told nothing could be done because no hands were laid on her. But the emotional effect.
Right.
Still there, so when it started to happen this year, she told no one and just took it.
Oh.
And just thought that this was just what she was going to have to deal with. And it bothers me because when here I talk to all these children, I make myself available to all these children, and to be within an arm's reach of a child who needed help, and she not feel that she could say anything to me because the other students in question said, if you say anything, we're going to beat you. So you don't say nothing to anyone in the school, and then didn't say anything when she went home.
Oh, man.
So the thing is, to anyone listening, you have to make sure that you make that line of communication one that, short of God returning himself, your child knows they can talk to you.
Right.
Because if they don't feel that way, what they don't tell you could kill them, or they decide to kill themselves, as Brother Faith Walker said earlier, is that you've seen the rash of suicides increased. I don't remember so many kids under the age of 17, 18 killing themselves as we've had in the last 5 or 6 years. And for kids that think that they have no way out other than killing themselves, I couldn't even fathom suicide under the age of 14, other than if your heart got broken and you loved it to death and you said you was going to kill yourself until you saw the next girl and was like, well, she kind of cute. Okay, forget that last one. But to actually,
and they actually they now have a term for it. They call it bullycide, which is a term used to describe suicide as a result of bullying. And suicide is the leading cause of death among children under the age of 14.
Well, that's been number one for a long time. That's been number one, but it was never that young. It was actually under 21, and now they've lowered the number to under 14.
That is sad.
It's actually grown more than 50% in the past 30 years.
Exactly, so, because when I taught health, it used to be in people 21 and under, they used to say the number one was suicide, and then they now changed the number from 21 to 14 and under. So to have that many kids so young feel the only way out was to just end their lives, something we're not doing right.
Well, I just want to call and share that story with you guys.
Well, hold on. You know you don't get to run away that easy, lady. You better tell these folks listening who you are, what you do, so they can check you out.
I am T. I am with the Diva Squad Love Fantasy on Wednesdays from 7 to 9, every Wednesday. And meet myself and Rachel. And then immediately following our show is all our comedy, the Chicky Chick. So on Wednesdays, you got something to listen to from 7 to 10, actually.
And T, I want to thank you for sharing your story about your daughter, because, you know, we've got to make this as real to as many people that's listening, because our kids need more.
Yeah.
Our kids, I don't know where the more is going to come from. We're going to continue to do what we can. We're going to try to bring light to this, and if we got to talk about it again in the future, we are, but we got to do something. And all the best to you and your family, and, you know, you're always welcome here, dog.
Thank you. And you all have a great night.
Thank you, dog. That's D. Make sure you check out our show on Wednesday night, guys. Definitely check out the Diva Squad. Definitely check them out on Wednesday night. Great group of young ladies. Great show. Actually, make sure you tune into all the shows here on GQ Palace Radio. Every night, there's a wonderful show. Same station, same calling number. So all you got to do is just turn your computer on, leave it where it is, call the same number, and just do the same things. Listen in, press 1 if you want to say something, and support. This is the type of radio programming that we need. We need to start using the internet to develop the things that we like, that's covering the subjects and the news that we need to hear from. If mainstream media is not going to play the stuff that we like or talk about the things that we need, do it ourselves. Don't wait on nobody else. That's what Tiff and I are doing. This is what we're trying to do tonight. And it's about trying to save children's lives. I have children. I have a son in school here in New York. I have a son in school in Maryland. I have a daughter in school here in New York. So listen, I worry about my children. I worry about everybody else's children, but we got to start stepping in and change things in our communities, man. This is extremely important. Bullying is very real. And this is why gangs are permeating. Gangs are siphoning off our children because they're offering only protection. You tired of people picking on you? Come join us. We're going to beat you first, but then we're going to show you some love. Now,
one thing I always said is when it comes to the gangs, when you look at them, and I hate to say this because you always talk about a lot of times with the kids, that when you see the gang situation, a lot of times you have a group of cowards. You have a group of kids who are afraid to get beat up, so they join the gang to avoid getting beat up. And what happens is, and this is actually a result of being bullied also, is that you now become the bully because you get tired of being bullied. And I would see that a lot growing up, that the victims then became the bully.
Well, one thing I got to share with you with that is that's how the gang numbers increase. But what's happening is you have one or two heads who have figured out, if I can get other people to join what I do, sometimes through intimidation, sometimes through the allure of money, and I get them to follow what I want, well, then I can bully them into staying. So if I search for weak-minded young men and women who are already fearful, offer them the illusion of protection, and then have them so terrified of leaving the protection that I'm offering, the reverse of the bullying is now I'm not only bullying them, I'm controlling everything they do, and now they do what I tell them. I had a kid in my mentor group say, the head of the gang has nothing to worry about because he's going to make everybody else do what he says to do. And I said, well, what happens if you don't do it? He said, you get beat up by the other gang members. So here's what we were saying earlier about ostracism. You're so worried about being ostracized by your gang members that you continue to do what you know is wrong simply because you're worried about being left out or being hurt by them. So you're stuck in this bully mode to others because you're worried about being bullied within the group. So it's a cycle that's devastating all the way around.
Right.
Faith said something that's very important when he said the venom that is spit into you. When you commit violence, and I taught a lesson some years ago, and I tried to explain that violence begets violence. We've heard that. But what happens is when you harm somebody, you beat somebody up. Yeah, you beat them, you won, okay, whatever. If you beat them to the point that that person does not believe that they can beat you physically, they now go home and try to think of ways to hurt you in other areas. It could be harm a family member. It could be go get a weapon.
Mm-hmm.
But the worst thing in the world is having somebody so demoralized that they don't think that there's nothing else they can do, because then they'll co-sign anything that will harm you.
Right.
That's the danger of violence, is that when you commit it, you don't know what the person is going to change into.
And it's funny that you said that, because I remember when I was in junior high school and I was being bullied, that one of the teachers said to one of the young ladies that was bullying me that that's the worst thing you can do, is bully someone that's scared of you, because you can back them into a corner like a cat and then they can wind up killing you. And
yeah.
It's funny, I never even thought of that. But as I became an adult, I heard of very serious stories where this happened, where people were bullied and they were scared and they wind up killing the person that bullied them. It happened in the high school I went to. It happened in the neighborhood of a friend I used to hang out with. It happens more often than not, where the person being bullied decides, you know what, I can't take this anymore, and they kill the person that is the aggressor.
Well, you know, the crazy thing is, like anything, there are times that abusive wives kill their abusers. The Burning Bed, you know, became a very popular movie because it was like, okay, enough is enough. What's Love Got to Do with It is, you know, Anna Mae Bullock, Tina Turner saying enough is enough, and I'm going to rough him off and get away from him. See, but it's easier when you're an adult to a degree, but when you're a child, you don't have the capacity mentally. You don't know, you don't think in all those different areas. Your brain is not functioning on all those different levels. So all you want is the pain to stop.
Mm-hmm.
You just want to be left alone. You just don't want, and this is parents, please pay attention. I'm going to keep saying that. If your child doesn't want to go to school and they're not telling you why, I just don't want to go. Don't just say, well, you're going to go because you have to. Listen. Listen, I watched a child start shaking. The tears, I couldn't keep up with the tears. And I'm thinking, how did I miss this? But then when I got the explanation and realized that this has been going on for some time, it drove a hole in my chest. Like, how long have you been holding this weight? And you're a child. We got to understand that, you know, as adults, and I've seen teachers stop crying, Why are you always whining? Go sit down. Just stand up for yourself. So you're going to send them out into the lion's den with no equipment, no weapons, no nothing, and then close your door, and that's it. You're not even going to stand there with them? You're not even going to stand for that child and do whatever? How do you call yourself an educator? I don't care who you are. When you sign on to work with children, you take all the baggage. All of it. If bullying is going on around you, it's your job to stop it. Don't look for somebody else. Unless you're going to get help and y'all going to go do what y'all got to do. Start with you. Every child around you that you work with, I don't care what your role is in the school. I don't care if you're cleaning the floors. If you see a child being hurt in any form of fashion, it's your job to stop what you're doing and stop that. You hear children bullying. Stop that. Make sure a child knows that they have an ally at every corner of the school. There is no blind areas. And if we find one, find a way to fix it. I sat in my office today, and I was just torn apart to know that a child was scared to speak to me because other children made that child scared. Unacceptable. And I'll do everything I can to protect that child and make sure that those children pay. Because we got to start policing our schools, our neighborhoods, our homes. You can't know a child's being bullied and sit there and be quiet and go, well, ain't my kid, their mom will fix that. No, you fix that. It makes no sense. And so if you're listening, start reading on the different things that constitute bullying. You know, start looking at the physical things, the emotional things, as I mentioned. You know, these are the things that you have to really pay attention to. Start looking, is your child withdrawn? Start looking if your child is watching negative things that you know they didn't do before. And ask questions. Sit down with them. Come up to the school when they don't know and just see if their demeanor at school is different than home. Why my child sitting there with their head down? Why my child sitting there with a hood on? Why is my child looking so sad? My child's normally an upbeat and happy child. Why my child look like that? And talk to their teacher. Talk to the guidance counselor. Talk to the parents, the aides. Talk to everybody who deals with these kids. Trust me. Most of us pay attention. I'm not going to say all. Because I've watched adults walk right past kids when kids are getting hurt. I ain't going to give them no names. Because I've already given them names. Yeah, I'm that snitch dude. Yeah, that's me. I'll tell on you in a minute when you ain't doing what you're supposed to do to come to harm the kid. Now I have no problem sitting at the hearing. And I wouldn't care if you starved to death. Because you're not going to hurt a child on my watch or act like you didn't see a child get hurt. You know, it's ridiculous. So it's something that I'm hoping that folks will pay attention to. Tiff, you on? Oh, I think we lost Tiff. Oh, I lost my lovely wife. Let's see if we can bring her back on. Tiff, you there?
Yes, I'm back.
There you go.
You know, I know you're doing your Kanye thing, but I was...
I was Kanye, and I was like, all right, cool, she ain't on, I got the mic, I'm going.
You see, you wasn't even concerned about me. You're big bull.
You know what? Don't even do that. I knew she wasn't on. That's why I'm doing my Kanye. You're gonna try to blow me up like I just took off. Come on now, you ain't right.
You know, I just wanted to mention because I was able to hear the show, but I wasn't able to get through. And I wanted to. You touched on something about teachers who stand by and watch the bullying go on. And I remember when I was in junior high school, I went to school in the hood, in Brownsville, New York, And basically, I wasn't the typical Brownsville hood girl. And a lot of times I got teased about it. I spoke too well for someone from the project. I dressed too nice for someone from the project. And I actually had a teacher say to me, the reason why people pick on me is because my nose is too high in the air. And this was when I was in junior high school. And it hurts to hear a teacher say that, because I'm thinking, if anything, the teacher's supposed to be protecting me regardless of how I speak, how I dress, that if I'm not instigating a situation and you have people that are picking on me for absolutely no reason, you should step up as a teacher to protect me, not tell me what I should do differently so people don't, you know, pick on me. That I should speak like the rest of the Negroes from the hood so that I don't get picked on. And that's basically what the teacher was telling me.
You know, what's sad is that I went through that when I first came here in 77. 77, 78. Well, it's been so long. When I first got here from New Jersey, for the country bumpkin. Listen, my mom bought our sneakers out of a barrel or whatever. Yes, they were Skips or $5 sneakers, whatever. I didn't know. I was just happy to have a pair of sneakers on my feet. I didn't live. I was here in South Jamaica, Queens, New York, and I wasn't here 2 days. And some kids right on my floor beat me up. Took my sneakers because they were laughing at me like, yo, look at his cheap sneakers. And the kids set them on fire. And when I came in the house and told my mother that, you know, they took my sneakers and set them on fire, my mother was like, oh, no, come on, let's go. Went to the lady's house, knocked on the door and said, yo, they're going to get it in. Said, you're not going to do this to my son. I'm thinking, Mom, I just wanted you to come talk to him. I ain't want to talk. Well, needless to say, I took that whipping, came inside, but my mom said, you stood up and fought like a man. Now, I'm thinking, I got beat up. How did I stand up like a man? But the dudes that beat me up showed me respect because I fought back. Now, I still, at the time, couldn't figure out what that was, but it's like a matter of they left me alone because I would fight back. But as I said, times change.
Absolutely.
People think things change. When I started school, I used to deliver newspapers, and I was very successful at delivering newspapers with the New York Post, but I won what was a gold-plated digital watch, and, you know, now it's so antiquated that you would laugh if you saw one. But I was so happy that I won a prize by being one of the top sellers in my area that my first day of school, my watch got stolen. And when I went to the kid, I was like, yo, this is the one that took my watch. I got beat up again for telling. So you know what I learned very quickly? I'm going to start beating up.
So you became the bully.
Exactly. I became the bully because I was like, I'm not going to wait. All right, man, listen, I'm going to start bullying. I'm going to look for some kids who softer than me and rough them off. Because I was going to try to fit in any way that I could. I didn't know that it was wrong. I didn't know that it was bullying. I just knew that I didn't want to get beat. And as I was saying earlier, when you want pain to stop, you'll do anything, say anything. When you just want the pain to go away, and this is why kids turn to suicide. Now, I never turned to suicide. I just learned how to fight. You punch a guy real hard, or you punch him harder than he punches you, he leaves you alone. That's the way it was in South Jamaica. It wasn't people jumping you. It was maybe one or two guys, one dude on the lookout, and you and the dude fought a fair one. You got beat up, you got beat up. And then all of a sudden, you might have two guys jumping. But I learned, beat one real hard. Take the beat, but make one other dude go home and regret that he was there. Nowadays, I look back and I go, my gosh, I'm glad I didn't die. But this is what some folks don't understand, that in urban neighborhoods, we're misguided in how we shape things. Now, I have been with the same type of teachers that you spoke about. I have seen teachers close their door and say, I'm not dealing with that. Excuse me? I have had kids come to me and say, I need your help, B. And when they start to explain the story, I go, wait a minute, where was the teacher? She was right inside the classroom. Why didn't he help you? Why didn't she help you? They turned their back, or they told me to come to you. Wait a minute, your eye was looking like that then? Your face was looking like that then? And then when I go to the teacher, I didn't see anything. Or my contract said, excuse me? Let me tell you something. The thing that helps bullying is ignorance. The thing that fuels bullying is ignorance. You turn the blind eye to what some of these kids are attempting to do to other kids. I heard a child say to another child, "Are you going to be my slave?" This is a child of color speaking to another child of color. "Are you going to be my slave?" Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. We can't allow or even act like this is acceptable on any level. This ain't the movies. These are real kids with real lives, with real problems. Now, you can take all the data you want. You can test these kids that they can't see. But if you're not going to go into these city schools and assist myself and all the other adults like me who are trying to do something inside these schools, these numbers are going to increase 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 times in the next 10 years. And if you notice, they coincide with the rate of pregnancies, the rate of violent deaths, the rate of drug use. It's all connected.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stop this on the younger level. Just like Brother Faith Walker said, it's going to turn into something else. And when that monster shows itself, it's going to be worse than you could have ever thought. Just like T said, you got groups of girls, groups of guys roughing off somebody because you ain't down with them. And now, pay attention to the music. Pay attention to the videos. Pay attention to how groups of people say, "I have more than you. You're not down with me. You can't F with mine." Our kids mirror that. Our kids become the embodiment of that. And then they walk into school spitting those same stupid and foolish lyrics with no money, no Bugatti, but closed fists. And then they're going to ask another kid, "Stand here and act like you cool with me or I'm going to beat you. Carry my books. Carry this. Give me this." I've watched kids say, "Buy me something to eat." No. And get punched in the face. And then when I'm suspending them, say, "Why are you suspending me? He didn't say nothing. He didn't complain. Excuse me? He didn't get mad. He liked when I take the money from him." You know what I'm saying, Norm?
Yeah.
Yeah. But wait a minute, you know what? Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
Because I know you take it very, very seriously.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people need to understand why you're quiet on this subject is. Why don't you explain to them the type of season and the type of bullying you went through?
Actually, I was bullied. Like I said, it went from elementary school. I was bullied in junior high school. There was an attempt to bully me in high school, but by the time I got into high school, I had gained a lot of friends who did not allow that to happen. But I remember in elementary school being chased home, being told that I had a big forehead, because I have a big forehead. I have to admit that. My husband teases me all the time.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, he teases me all the time about my big forehead.
You trying to say I bully you about your forehead? Your grande strength?
No. You don't bully me. You actually make fun of me a little bit, but I don't consider it bullying.
But I'm married to you, though. So.
When I was in elementary school, I used to get chased home by boys and girls. And it's so funny because I had a brother 2 years younger than me. He actually passed away when he was 13. But we would walk home from school. My brother, Tracy, was something else. He was not a bully, but he knew how to fight. And he didn't instigate problems, but he didn't walk away from them either. And my brother hated the fact that I would not fight. And I remember one time he took up for me because these bullies chased me home, and they were asking me to basically fight, and I didn't want to fight. And they would say, come on, you want to fight? And my brother was walking with me, and he turned around. He's now 2 years younger than me. He turns around and said, she won't fight you, but I will. And he started fighting. And I'm just...
Hold that thought. Mm-hmm. We have a caller on the line. You know how we're going to get into some of these callers. So we have Shaquille on the line. Shaquille, are you there?
Hello, are you there?
Hello, Shaquille?
Did she disconnect?
Hello, Shaquille?
Yes.
Hello, how we doing, Shaquille?
Good, and you?
I'm good. Thank you for calling in.
Yeah. I got a little question for bullying.
Okay, go right ahead.
Okay, basically my question was, let's say a kid is bullying another kid, and that kid hurts himself or commits suicide or whatnot. Would y'all blame it on the kid that bullied him, or would y'all say at the end of the day that kid still has his own mind?
No, well, see, that you can be arrested for, if you put someone in a mental state that causes them to feel a certain way, you can be charged with a crime. And I would blame the person who assisted that person in feeling that way. At the end, a person taking their life, I believe, does have a choice. But remember that we're talking about emotional abuse. So you're not in your right state of mind when someone has abused you.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start to believe that the pain is so great that you need to get out from under it, and someone caused that, well, then, yeah, somebody has to answer for causing that pain.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, especially with the kids, they spend a good part of their day in school. And to have to suffer that type of harassment and go through the emotional turmoil of not knowing whether they're going to be beat up from day to day, or somebody's going to steal their money or steal their food, or, you know, it could become overwhelming. So there should be consequences to the people who are causing that type of torment to the kids.
Now, Shaquille, there is a crime that is called menacing. Is that if a group or person continues to make you feel uncomfortable,
mm-hmm.
you can be charged with a crime. So now if a person goes out and hurts themselves to try to get away from what the person was trying, like I said before, trying to make them feel, yes, you can be charged with the crime. And now how long you would be or in jail or anything like that, I'm not a lawyer, but I do know that is a crime, because one of the things that we're talking about is coercion, is when people try to coerce you into doing something, you say no. And again, if you feel fearful and the fear is legitimate, because one of the things I hear kids say to me often, I didn't say anything, but the three of you were there. So when one person was doing the talking, but the three of you were sitting there with the screw face on, what was the person supposed to feel? What was the person supposed to think?
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, if you make a person feel a certain way and they decide to take their lives, yeah, there is some culpability to that.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Yes. Thank you.
No problem. Any other questions?
No, that's about it. That's a good, perfect answer, though. But that was a question I was wondering.
I appreciate it. Well, listen, this is your first time listening to us?
Yeah. No, I listened to y'all a couple of shows.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad that you decided to call in, and I hope that you'll let other folks know that we're here. This is what we're trying to do. We're trying to make some changes and hopefully help some folks out. So I'm glad that you called in tonight.
Thank you.
Have a good night. That was Shaquille, everyone. Appreciate you calling in. But I think Shaquille brings up a good point, you know, is that I think we do place blame in the wrong place, and we might look at some of the ways that kids attempt to avoid the dangers, and we may tend to get at them the wrong way. I think we have to look at it all the way around. And I'm actually glad he brought that to the table, because we do have to consider that. What you think, honey?
I do think that The only thing is, we have to hold the children accountable for their own actions, the ones that are bullying, because, and again, this is because I've been bullied, that I feel this way. No, not at any time did I feel like, oh my goodness, I'm going to take my life. But it did make me, the scars are still there, because I even think about it now, and Kale and I have talked about it, because I had a situation recently with a bully. Believe it or not, I'm 37 years old, and I had an adult bully situation. And when I find myself in a circumstance like that, it takes me over the top, and it makes me think about when I was younger and afraid to take up for myself. And now that I'm an adult and I can take up for myself, it sends me in a rage sometimes to think that as an adult, because kid bullies become adult bullies, that there are adult bullies that think it's okay and that their behavior is fine and it should just be accepted because that's who they are. So as a child, it's harder to deal with because you don't know where to turn to sometimes because you're afraid to speak up. You're afraid to protect, you know, defend yourself because you're afraid to get beat up. It's just a matter of, you know, with the kids, it's just a matter of knowing that they need someone to step up for them and say, you know what, we have this for you, and this is not going to go on anymore.
True. True. I think, you know, and it's like we said, adult bullies, there's a lot going on there because it makes you wonder, like, how are you at certain ages still acting like this? But all abuse, if it's not dealt with, is going to turn into something. Like you just said, when the negative happened to you, it took you to a place, and it took you to that place where that venom was still at. And I think when certain things happen, we're transported back to certain feelings, and then you have that fight or flight response where you either stay and deal with it or you try to get away from it. We can't get away from the way our bodies are designed, but what we can do is reshape the way that we think. I think group conversations. I think counseling. I definitely believe in counseling. I wish more folks of color believed in counseling because it's a viable means of fixing emotional damage. You can't put Band-Aids on emotional scars. And I wish more folks of color believed in going to counselors. You're not crazy for going to a counselor. You're actually crazy for not going, as well as reaffirming our spiritual backgrounds, connecting with our faith, whatever our faith may be, because faith offers a way to deal with emotional issues. A lot of people don't like to lean on their faith. They don't want to seem weak when it actually, you know, this is what faith helps with, right? Or what's your thoughts?
I agree with you. I think that we need to start identifying why certain people choose to bully. Because one thing I learned as I got older, and even when I look back on the people who chose to be bullies when I was in school, when you look at their family situation, it was dysfunctional. A few of the young ladies that I knew in school that were the worst of the bunch, they had parents who were alcoholics. They had parents who were abusive. I remember one young lady in particular, she even had teachers scared of her. That's how bad she was in elementary school. And this was crazy.
Yeah.
But
that happened. But, you know, kids is wild. You'd be like, I don't want to deal with this wild kid. There's a couple in my building that some people really don't want to deal with.
But when I look back,
I'm sorry, I ain't get beat up by no junior high school kid. I'm sorry.
But this is when I was in elementary school, and when I look back, and I remember the first time I saw this young lady's mom, I realized why she was so angry, because she was definitely afraid of her mom. Her mom was the only one she was afraid of, and her mother was serious. Her mother was very abusive, and she would yank her up by her throat, her hair, drag her. It was horrible.
But that speaks volumes about why she is the way she is, though.
Right, absolutely. And it made me feel sorry for her as we got older, because then I realized why she was so angry at school. She was just, to me, when we were at school, she was angry for no reason. But then when I finally saw who her mother was, it just made sense. And I put, you know, two and two together that she turned out the way she was because of it. So I think it's very important that we need to really see, of course, we're going to be behind the victims of bullying, but we also need to see what's going on in the minds of bullies to try to get them out of that state of wanting to dominate the circumstances and wanting to bully.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. I think, but that goes back to what I said about counseling. Guidance counselors are in school for a reason. They're not there to hold a clipboard. They're not there to walk around and take out the trash. They're not there to walk around a lunchroom. They're there to help kids deal with some major issues. Guidance counselors, you know, if you even go look at what's required to get a master's degree in social work, and guidance, there's a lot more credit than a regular master's degree, because there's more training that goes into being able to counsel anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because here I am trying to consider a counseling degree to switch careers, and I'm thinking, oh, do I really want to do a 60-credit master's degree program? But it's what's necessary if you want to deal with folks and start climbing around in people's heads. Now, if you don't deal with something because you don't know how, okay, that's a fine admission. If you don't know how to, like, if you say I don't know how to reach this child, B, what can I do? Well, the fact that you went and got help, you did something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what we got to teach people too, is that you don't have to take on things that you don't know how to do. That's what the guidance counselor is for. That's what the social worker is for in school. That's what the principal, assistant principal, dean. If the maintenance guy has a great relationship with the kid, call him upstairs and say, listen, talk to this kid for a little bit. If that's what's going to save lives, the bully or the person being bullied. Now, you mentor kids, and I know we had a second topic, which was discipline, but I want to stay with this one.
Yeah, we'll probably get to that next week.
Exactly. Okay. You mentor kids. What are some of the things that you express to them when letting them know it's okay to come to you to talk about things that might be going on?
Well, what the lady does, a lot of times we deal with
who are the lady does? Before you say what the lady, who are the lady does? When you say the lady does, what?
The lady does is a nonprofit organization that I'm a member of that basically provides resources to the Queens community where we live, whether it's after school programs, tutoring, summer camp, scholarship. We do a lot of things to aid the underserved community. And we have events throughout the year. We had recently in April the Young Gifted and Talented Showcase, where we have kids as young as 2 years old, as old as 25, perform, model, design, clothes. And when we bring them all together, the first thing that I try to relay is you are your brother's keeper. And to try to take out that bully mentality, and thankfully it's working, because a lot of times when you have kids in a certain environment and they're so used to a certain way and you pull them out and change it, it's really difficult for them to adapt. And we come up with the idea that, again, you are your brother's keeper, meaning you don't say and do anything that's going to be hurtful. If something you say, if you got it back to you, would be hurtful, then don't say it. Don't do it. And basically, we try to promote positivity and knowing that what we're here for is to uplift each other. So, and it's funny because every once in a while we'll get an outsider that comes in, and last year we actually had an adult. He said something to the girls, and I said, we don't talk like that here. He said something really derogatory because they weren't getting the step, you know, as fast as he thought they should get it. And I said, we don't talk that way here. if you want to encourage them to get it right, then you find a better way to say it. But we don't talk like that. And I think that should go on everywhere. It doesn't go on enough. I think sometimes as adults, I see it, I witness it, we just let things slide. You'll hear something that a child says to another child, and it doesn't get addressed. So, of course, they'll think there's nothing wrong with it. And I think it perpetuates the bullying further. So, in the Lady Doves, again, we work on promoting uplifting each other and not tearing each other down.
Exactly. And I think that's what's important, too, is that when people say, what can we do to change things? Or what you could do is form organizations, form groups. I have a mentor group that meets. We met on Saturdays, but now we meet on Wednesdays. We got one group left for the end of the year, which is next week. And this is my opportunity to sit down with those young men. And we call ourselves the Young King. And just like your group, one of the things that we commit to or attempt to get the kids to commit to is that they have to look out for each other. I even say, if you're in class, and I find out that you're in class with another one of the young kings, and you're allowing him to actually, and you didn't say anything, I'm going to get at you too, because you have to police each other as a way to help each other, but also as a way to keep each other safe. And I've noticed that, you know, some of the young men have bought in. Now, we got a late start because we didn't get a chance to get started until after January. But I have seen in the 5 months that we've been doing this, I've seen a greater camaraderie with the younger men in the sixth grade, with the older guys in the eighth grade. And so now you have that big brother situation in place, even if it's just this to be one of the kids in the group. And this is what I'm attempting to do, and I hope that others do it. So this is how we counteract bullying. You know, the Lady Doves is run by a wonderful woman, Andreen Williams, who doesn't deal with BS. And she's not going to allow anyone to come into her organization and do anything that's going to even remotely look like bullying. You know, and these are the things that we have to commit to, is that we're going to not allow it whenever we see it. And say something. Contact the parent. What's a phone call? Listen, you know, I noticed that your son was a little upset today. You know, I just wanted to bring it to your attention. You know, that could be the iceberg, the tip of the iceberg that the parent needs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have to consider those things. I know when I see you not feeling or looking a certain way, I'm going to concern myself. You okay? Everything all right?
Right.
And we have to, when we work with anyone, and I said we're speaking to young folks, but I mean really pay attention to all folks, but especially with kids, if you really pay attention to the children that are around you, you'll see the changes. Kids, my little nephew, he has the funniest demeanor, but when things don't go his way, oh my gosh. He wants to flop on the floor, roll. You can clearly see his demeanor change when things ain't going his way. But I can also see how his demeanor changes when I come in the house and he wants to go count the coins, or he wants to give me a hug. Well, if I notice that all of a sudden I come in and he sees me and that's not the case, or now something's changed, I'm going to check that out. And if I thought something was going on, I'm going to say something. I'm going to do something. We have to start treating others, other children, other people's children like our own.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start saying that if I'm in proximity to that child, I'm going to say something, even in the street. You and I have mm-hmm. said many times we done jumped out the car to try to help other people. At risk of life and limb.
Yeah.
Because we're not just going to walk by and let a crime be committed. And we've called the police. Stayed and waited till the police came, pointed out who the police needed to pick up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to play that don't snitch game and allow somebody to get hurt. So I think these are the things that anybody listening, really take note. We live in an age of technology. There's no excuse why you're not learning something about any of this. You can just jump on Google right now and look up bullying, and Lord knows how much information is out there. So when you're looking for resources, I'm not going to give you a list. All you got to do is get on Google, type in bullying. The pages will just keep flowing in. You can read all day and all night for the next couple weeks. And if you got children, if you got nieces, nephews, if you got cousins, if you got whoever, if they mean something to you, then you need to learn as much as you possibly can. Do as much as you possibly can. Any suggestions you have?
What I wanted to mention also is that for those who have children at home, I know when it came to me being bullied, I did not always go home to tell my parents what was going on. I don't think I told my mom the severity of the bullying until I was an adult. So a lot of times the kids keep it inside. They don't tell anyone. And that's the reason why we have a lot of children committing suicide today also, is because they're afraid to tell anyone. And I think I was more afraid because I know my mom's listening, but my mom's kind of crazy. She kind of ghetto. And I was always afraid that if I went home and told my mother that I was being bullied, that she would come up to school and regulate, because my mom was the type of mom that she would beat your child. So, but there's things that we need to recognize as parents and as adults when children are being bullied and they're not saying anything. And some, just want to give a list of a few things. As far as if your child comes home with unexplained injuries or damage to their clothes or missing stuff like their clothes, their jacket, they say, "Oh, I lost it. I forgot it. I don't know where I put it." You know, these are signs that you should pay attention to. If their eating habits changed, if they make excuses for not going to school, they don't want to go to school, they pretend to be sick. If they have less friends, because sometimes, you know, you graduate elementary school, middle school, and your friend circles change. And sometimes the friends that you have hung out with before, they don't want to hang out with you now. And then those friends turn out to be the bullies for your future. It happens. People who you thought you were cool with in elementary school, you get to school. I'm sorry, what you thought?
Be careful of the friends that you've never seen, the so-called good friends or my friends, but they've never,
right,
seen them, they never came by, they never, you never hear them on the phone with them, anything like that, but they say my friend at school and all these different things are going on. Really pay attention to that. I know some of y'all may say, well, why do they keep giving the same information? We want to make sure you have it. And we're going to take a break, because we wanted to go right through the break because of this subject matter. We're going to take a break. But when we come back, I'm going to give you the types of bullying, because there is one type that we did not mention that is extremely important, and that is cyberbullying. And so I want to give you all of the different types of bullying, but I also want to mention cyberbullying. So I'm going to give you the definitions of the types of bullying so you can take a listen to it. And then we're also going to deal with cyberbullying, because some folks think it's only the internet, what's the problem, but that is just as dangerous. And you can go to jail for some of the things that you do or send or attempt to get someone to do online. So we will be back in two songs, which is our usual. We're back in two songs. You're listening to Reality and Relationships every Thursday night from 8 to 10 on GQ Palace Radio. Remember to tune in to the other shows that are on the other 6 days of the week. Same station, same setting, same phone number, everything. All you got to do is call in and listen. All you got to do is tune in and listen. This is Reality and Relationships. That is my lovely co-host, Tiffany Braxton Bell, and I am KL Bell. We'll be back in two songs.
For the radio. another jam for the dance floor. Really get it in if you didn't know. I got a whole new thing going on. Break bread if you want to. Cause leaving you is what I want to. I'm in love if you can feel it. Cause ain't nobody else out there for me. For me. A couple shots up the strong, but I ain't drinking all alone. I got the hubby with me up in the VIP. Everything we do, VIG. And I'ma keep it real till I D.I.G. Okay, let's go. I'm with it, and you know that you got it, and I'm ready. Like a weekend, I finally find you and I'm seeking. It feels like I wanna be close to you and do all the things that lovers do. Your love to get me higher, boy. You got that fire, fire. A couple shots up the strong, but I ain't drinking all alone. I got the hubby with me up in the VIP. Everything we do, VIP. And I'ma keep it real till I die. Okay, let's go.
My pieces, fam, legacy. remember me. A prison with a senator, a brown with a frown. I'm a pro speaker now, making words compound. Sound my words, man. What?
We were publishing a word.
That's what I'm talking about. When I mentioned earlier that Brother Faith Walker is super talented, that piece right there, Wordplay 2, the theme for the Wordplay 2 Foundation, the Foundation of Soul Poetry Anthology, he created that, and there's 13 poets in the book. He created a song that worked in all 13 poets' names, as well as Tiffany and myself. The brother is incredibly talented. Brother Faith Walker and Roddy SP is they're the thing down in South Carolina. So if you're interested in having any music done, anything going on, anything produced, they produce pure fire. So just hit me up at info@bravenpublishing.com. That's info@bravenpublishing.com, and I will connect you to these brothers. They will put together anything that you need. Now, they don't just do everything. They are righteous brothers, so They're not going to shoot them in the face stuff. You can hang on to that. They're not going to do that. But if you definitely need something put together, these are the brothers that will do it for you. So definitely check them out. You're listening to Reality of Relationships. It's Thursday night from 8 to 10. And my lovely wife and I just want to try to help. Right, baby?
Yes.
Yes. We really want to try to help. We try to use our relationship, our marriage, our knowledge, our skills, whatever we have to try to make things better. We really do live this way because we came from dysfunctional families. We came from environments and still are around environments that are negative. But if we can try to be a ray of sunshine, a light of hope to some folks, you know, it helps keep us grounded too. We're trying to give back and trying to make things and make this place a better place. You know, people, it may sound corny, but somebody has to do it. Now,
we don't just talk it. We actually try to apply what we mention online on a radio show each week, because sometimes it's funny that I come across people that they see me online and they see me on Facebook and the things that I post. Then when they see me in person, they say, "Oh, you're just like you are online." And I'm thinking, yeah.
What else am I supposed to be? And it's so true, because I use the things that we talked about last week about dealing with coworkers. I used it all the Friday and all this week, and it's been working. And like I said, I followed our advice because I was dealing with some situations, and they've turned to, I'm not going to say completely positive, but they've turned towards the positive, and that's a good sign. Before we went to the break, we talked about, I gave you earlier what is the definition of bullying. Let me give them to you. Physical bullying. This is the most obvious form of bullying. In this type of bullying, the instigator attempts to physically dominate another. This usually includes kicking, punching, and other physical harmful activities designed to install fear in the one bullied and possibly coerce him or her to do something. Verbal bullying. When somebody verbally bullies another, he or she uses demeaning language to tear down another's self-image. Bullies who use verbal techniques excessively tease others, say belittling things, and use a great deal of sarcasm with the intent to hurt the other person's feelings or humiliate the other in front of others. You have emotional bullying. This is even more subtle than verbal bullying. Teenagers bullying that way are including emotional methods aimed at getting someone else to feel isolated, alone, maybe even prompt depression. This type of bullying is designed to get others to ostracize the person being bullied. Now, the last one, and we were going with this in the last couple minutes of the show, cyberbullying. Electronic bullying is becoming a very real problem for teens. This type of bullying uses instant messaging, cell phone text messages, online social networks to humiliate and embarrass others. This can be especially devastating to people being bullied, since they cannot even find a safe place in the virtual world. Now, that's what I meant
when I said that the bullying is now being brought home, because like when I was growing up, I just had to feel, okay, when I go to school, I'm going to get picked on. When I came home, it was fine. I didn't have a problem. But now you have the kids, they come home, and as soon as they go online, here they are being bullied again. And then the cell phone, here come the messages, the pictures, the texts saying, you know, all type of craziness to kids. So they can't even get away from it anymore, because it's just everywhere. You now have full access to bully someone.
Yes, and kids are using these with the skill of a surgeon. Some kids have already placed things on Facebook before the kid has even left school. So it's there waiting. And they've already sent it to 100 people. I dealt with a situation where the young man told the young lady, if you don't perform fellatio, and if you don't know what fellatio is, get out the Google dictionary. You should already, by what I'm saying, know what that is. The young man said to the young lady, if you don't perform fellatio on me, I am going to tell everyone, I'm going to show everyone the pictures that I took of you. So he bullied her into doing something that she felt uncomfortable. And when we were sitting with her mother said, why would you do that? She said, because he would have told everybody that I did something and they wouldn't be my friends anymore. She said, but you did something anyway, and you still lost friends. And she was so confused because she just couldn't fathom it. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, why would you even allow him to put you in that position? Why did you even take pictures? She's like, that's what he wanted. So the coercion was in place. The technology is there, but are we monitoring the technology? So if you always talk about, you know.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I talk about that all the time. And I know people get mad at me, but I'm sorry that there are parental controls on television, on computers, on cell phones for a reason. Use them. Use them because it just, it annoys me, you know, in when a parent will say, I can't believe this happened, and you didn't bother to take the necessary steps in order to have control as a parent. So, I'm sorry, as a parent, we need to follow up. We need to say, you know what, I'm going to make sure that certain things just don't happen, so I'm going to take those steps. And again, read your instructions, read your handbooks to your TVs, your computers, your cell phones, and start using parental controls on your electronics for your children. And that is my PSA from Tiffany.
That's a great PSA because parents don't even realize the parental controls are there. And you know, you heard me say this, and I'll say it again. I'll say this to any parent listening. Your child should not be the master of anything in your house. They should not be the master of technology in your house. That is where the problem will come into your home in every area that you don't master. You don't master the exits, child going out one of them. You don't master the bedroom, somebody up in there humping. You don't master the phone, somebody is going to say or do something either from your house out or coming into your house if you don't monitor it. Now, you're going to say, how can I monitor my child's phone? Well, does your child need all of the internet access that comes with a phone? Just because the phone is capable of it does not mean that your child should have the capabilities. You have to make that decision based on how well you know your child and how well you trust your child. And if your child is getting bullied, and people are sending those messages, save them. Save them. Teach your child how to take those messages and send them in an email so they can be printed. Teach your child how to save those messages. Teach your child to come and show you those messages. Print them. And do not be scared to go and file a police report. You are not snitching. You are protecting your child.
You know that there's a problem with that also when it comes to cyberbullying, because according to statistics, and this is crazy because we all know it goes on, because I mentioned on the GQ Palace Facebook page that I was a victim of cyberbullying, yes, but fewer than 1 in 5 cyberbullying incidents are reported to law enforcement. That means according to law enforcement, according to the statistics, cyberbullying doesn't exist. We all know it exists, but because people don't report it enough, it's almost like it doesn't really happen.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Fewer than 1 in 5. That is crazy to me, because we all know it happens, because kids are killing themselves over it. So
no,
why,
that's sad.
Why are people afraid to report that they're being bullied on the internet, or even to their text messages? And just to give you another number, more than half of today's teens have been bullied online. More than half have been bullied on the internet.
Wow,
that's
brilliant.
That same number, half are people who have bullied. So you have 50% of teens, more than half being bullied, but also more than half bullying. So it's just crazy. At some point, we need to take control. And also, we have this ridiculously high number of bullying incidents going on online. Again, less than 1 in 5 are reported to law enforcement. And the next statistic, 80% of the online incidents usually turn into something physical. So you have an 80% chance of getting bullied online of being beaten up by your bully.
That's what Faith was talking about, you know, what goes in. But that when your child is sitting there, people feel empowered when they're on the internet, because they feel the chance of you getting back at them the way that it could be is not going to happen. But what we've noticed in the world is that violence increases because of the technology, because now we got folks wanting to create violent situations to put it on places like WorldStar, Airstop, YouTube, whatever, Facebook, of course, and Twitter, of course. And now we have these terms, Twitter beefs. We have these foolishness. But when a child is feeling trapped, when a child is feeling pressure because everyone around them is putting out these messages and they're coming and you can't block everyone, and then people are creating 2, 3, 4, 5 profiles. You know, you feel like, I can't even touch my computer, and then you got to turn around and go to school. Like you said, like, now you start to understand why kids feel the only out is to silence everything.
Right.
And I hope anybody listening with children or children with them, read to them. Go kiss them tonight and understand, this is real. I'm dealing with this right now. When I get up tomorrow morning, I got to deal with this. I'm going to have some irate parents who are going to try to defend their children and say, my children did not. When I got video, yes, they did. I got a little girl who shook up, scared to death, whose mom came to me and said, yes, I did go to the precinct like you said, Mr. Bob. I said, thank you. So if I need that report, I can get it. So this is real. But I'm not having no kid commit suicide on my watch. I've lost a student by suicide, but I wasn't there, and I wasn't teaching them at the time, but I found out later that happened. But I've lost a student, a former student, to suicide. He was dealing with gender issues, and the community around him made him feel that his gender choices just were not going to be accepted. So he felt the only way to deal with himself, where he was in his life, was turning out the lights. Can't happen. Tiff and I aren't going to allow that to happen. We're going to do what we can. We love children entirely too much. We play with kids wherever we're at. Tiff knows I play with kids wherever I'm at. Well, they come find me. Look at that big teddy bear. I'm going to go play with him. And to think that one of them may be suffering through something, and Tiff's the same way, forever playing with children. Even though y'all wouldn't know she ain't the biggest fan of children, but we'll talk about that another show.
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe you would say that. How can you say that?
How many times you done text me and said, this little kid bumped my leg one more time?
You know, we're going to talk about parents having control of their children in public. That's going to be another topic.
We do the discipline show. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
When we do the discipline show, if somebody starts to discipline your child in public, that'll be my wife. Yeah, she did just spank your child. You can call the police now.
The guy on the plane. But, listen, that's another topic.
Well, they should have roughed him off. But, no, I tell jokes because, you know, I had tears in my eyes today. Because I was watching a video and I said to myself, the child who was being bullied was right next to me and didn't reach out because she was scared. And I'm saying to myself, What am I not doing that's not bridging that gap? Now, I know it's not me. I know that. And Tiff is my biggest cheerleader, and I appreciate her for that. But I take this very seriously. I really do. We got to find a way to save not just one, as many as possible. You know, Tiff goes over the statistics. She takes the time to find the information, because we don't want to just sit back and go back and forth and just rant back and forth. We want you to take something from tonight and use it. So, Dawg, listen up. We got 3 minutes. So, what would you like to say to everybody listening as we bring this to a close tonight?
I would like to say, as adults, we need to be more proactive in the circumstances with bullying. We need to address it when we see it. And if you're a person that you don't want to confront it directly, then you need to report it to the proper people so that it's taken care of. Because to see a child being hurt, whether physically, emotionally, whatever the circumstances are, and not taking an active role to make sure that it doesn't happen, you're just as bad as a bully. So I honestly believe that as adults, we need to start stepping up and saying, this is not acceptable. This is not a part of growing up. It doesn't have to be a part of growing up, and we can change this.
Yes. Very true. Very well said. Very well said. You know what? I've been emotional all day, so it's not going to change now. But I ain't going to sit here and cry. I ain't going to do my Steve Harvey and just break down. No. I'm just going to say, I am going to pray harder, and then I'm going to get up and work harder to learn more, to pay closer attention, to be more accessible if possible, to be more reachable, and hold myself accountable for trying to prevent bullying on every level that I can possibly do it. In school and out. I'm going to make myself more of a resource to anyone that needs it, any child that is in fear of anything. No child should feel the only way out is taking their own life. No child should go to school and be fearful of just being a child. No child should have to fear anyone because they don't want to do or act or be a certain way that the other children want them to be. No. And this subject is a very serious subject, and I hope that those of you that are listening will tell your friends and family to come back and listen. Just come to GQ Palace, actually blogtalkradio.com/GQ Palace, and look for Reality and Relationships. The archives will be up maybe 10, 15 minutes after the show is over. Share it. And if you want to reach Tiff and I, reach out at info@Braven, BRAVIN, publishing.com. info@BravenPublishing.com. Reach out. We would love to come and speak at your school, your organization, whatever. If you are a young man, a young woman, and you're being bullied and you don't feel you have anyone else to talk to, you reach out to us. You leave your number and our email, and one of us will call you. We promise you that. And we'll do what we can to help you. Don't ever feel there's not someone there. And at the end of it all, before we close, don't ever forget God is there for you. Don't ever forget that God sees everything that happens, from the bullying to the person being bullied. Don't forget to pray. Don't forget to ask the Lord to help you through it. And you'd be surprised how things happen. So I want to say good night, and I'm going to let my lovely wife have the last word.
I thought you were having the last word. I spoke already.
Just say good night, lovely.
Good night, and God bless.
You know I love you, right?
Love you too.
Ain't nobody got what we got.
No, no. What I do with my baby.
Yes. Said built from the concrete, baby. Don't get no better than this.
Love to you.
Put you on a rocket flight. Keep on loving till we touch the sky.